You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Stacking Paper by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Proverbs 31 and 16 says, she looks over a field and buys it. That's what Proverbs 31, 16 says from the message. It says, she looks over a field and buys it. Then with the money she put aside, plants a garden. And then the King James says, she considers a field. She don't make impulsive purchases. She considers. Is this good? Let me weigh this out. Let me think about everything else I got to do. Yeah, I really want this field. This field. But let me consider the feel in light of everything else that I have to handle. She considers. So this woman was a good money manager. So savings is based upon wisdom for preparation. Everybody say wisdom for preparation. So that's why you save. Save is based upon the principle of wisdom. I need wisdom so I can prepare. Hoarding is based upon fear and selfishness. Saving is based on ruling wisdom. Hoarding is based upon fear and selfishness. Okay? You just try to keep everything to yourself and you're afraid to sow, afraid to give, afraid to help anybody because, you know, you got to have a rainy day. Well, all your days are going to be rainy if you become a hoarder. Now, the Bible teaches the balance between those two extremes, right? Proverbs 21 and 20. Look at this. This talk about wasting money. It said there's treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the who? Look at it. There is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the who? Of the wise. It said, but a foolish man spendeth it up. It said, so a wise person knows how to hold on to precious things. It said, but a fool just squanders it and spends everything up. One translation says, it says that there will be treasures in a wise and wealth in a wise person's house. It says, but a fool will put everything in the garage sale. Proverbs 21:20, the New Living Translation says, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. Well, what do fools do? Come on, what do fools do? They spend whatever they get. So if every time you get money, you just spend everything, you're being a fool. You're being foolish. Proverbs 11, 24 through 26. Now it shows us the balance between saving and giving. Balance between saving and spending. Proverbs 11, 24 through 26, New Living Translation. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. King James says, there's that which scattereth and yet increases, and yet some people hold back more than they should, and they end up in poverty. Verse 25, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Verse 26, people curse those who hoard their gain, but they bless the one who sells in a time of need. So there's times when other people need, or when you have, that you need to be able to release. So God doesn't want us hoarding, saving, but not hoarding. Not just trying to hold everything based upon fear. Remember the rich fool, Luke 12, 16 through 20, that talks about the rich fool who said a certain ground of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And he said, what shall I do? I don't have any place to bestow my goods. He said, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. What was he thinking about? Hoarding. He didn't talk about blessing anybody. You didn't hear him talk about tithing. You didn't talk about giving anything to anybody else. I'm just going to tear down and build bigger. And so what happens? In verse 20, he said, the Bible says that verse 20 said, God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of thee. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So God doesn't want us to hoard. Everybody say, God doesn't want me to hoard. Joseph as the precursor to the patriarchs who went down to Egypt, Joseph brought before Pharaoh and comes up with an economic plan that salvaged and saved Egypt from national disaster when all the other known countries were in famine. He came up with a plan. the Pharaoh had a dream. He said, I need somebody to interpret this dream. He said, this is what the dream means. He said, it's going to be 7 years of plenty. And it's going to be 7 years of famine. 7 years where things are rolling. And then there's going to be change of administration. And then there's going to be 7 years when things just aren't good. Okay? It's going to be 7 years. Now, you don't understand. You don't understand. Everything goes in cycles. The economy goes in cycles. Okay? And whatever president or whoever is in office at the time that the cycle's up, they get the credit. If they're in office at the time the cycle's down, they get the blame. But everything goes in cycles. Okay? The truth of the matter is the recession didn't break people. A lot of people, they just weren't wise in how they were handling money. People got houses. It wasn't because of recession. People got houses they just couldn't afford. Bottom line. And had no plan for how they were going to pay it. And can I tell you, I preached a message on this years ago, and you really got to understand this. I haven't taught in a long time. But you not only need obtaining faith, you need maintaining faith. A lot of people, I mean, you put all your faith into obtaining. Oh, I'm a believer of God. I'm going to get this. 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 I believe I receive. And you use all your faith to obtain, but then you have no faith to maintain. And a lot of times what you need to maintain is wisdom. Amen. Because the blessing of the Lord, what does it do? It maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. So a lot of times I said, we can't tell if it's a blessing by how shiny it is. We can't see if it's a blessing by how big it is. Only time is going to tell whether this is a blessing. Whether this added to your life, added joy to your life, added enjoyment to your life, or whether it took from your joy and it became a source of stress and aggravation for you. Some people found that too late about a man. Oh, thank you. Oh, he's such a blessing. He's a blessing. He's a blessing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I got me a man. Mm-hmm. And 6 months into this thing, the man you got don't pay no bills. Won't work a job. And if you looked over his resume, you would have seen he had a history of not keeping jobs. Don't get me started on that. Because we call all this stuff, y'all call it dating. What it is, it's a job interview. See, y'all got your heart involved, you get your body involved, you get your lips involved, you get your saliva involved. You better get your brain involved. When you are dating somebody, you are on a job interview. Okay, now in a job interview, you got to know the right questions to ask. I went to hire somebody one time. I said, can I talk to you? They weren't working there anymore. And I understand if you're working there. I said to somebody, I said, can I contact your prior employer? They said, no. Really? It ain't because you're afraid they're going to fight. In other words, I don't want you to know what they know. That's a job. You got to know the right answer. Can I contact your prior wife? No. Oh, God, that may not be the one. Okay, anyway. A blessing adds to your life. Amen. Now, financial management is wise allocation of your money and includes properly saving and preparing for life circumstances. That's what financial management is. It's wise allocation of your money. It includes properly saving and preparing for life circumstances. Proverbs 30:25 tells us about the ant. Tells us about the ant. It said the ants are people, not they ain't even strong, but they prepare their food in the summer. When's the last time that you saw an ant out in the snow digging for some food? Yet they do what? They prepare. Was anybody here ever Boy Scout beside me? Okay. About three or four of us were Boy Scouts. I don't even know if they have Boy Scouts today because everybody home playing video games now. Okay. Instead of learning how to tie knots. All right. But Boy Scout, we used to raise our, what was it? Three fingers we had, right? Three fingers. And the Boy Scout motto was very simple. Be prepared. They were teaching boys to be prepared for life. Be prepared for how to survive in the woods. Be prepared how to tie a knot. Be prepared how to help somebody. Okay? Preparation is wisdom. Wisdom is preparation. So if ants prepare because they know I ain't trying to be out here in the winter looking for some food, they say while it's good and while the weather's nice, we need to get up all this food because when the winter comes, we need to be down here in the ground. Amen. Preparation. So the Bible says, consider how they do and model that. That's what financial management is. Savings or having a storehouse helps you to avoid unnecessary crises in your life. Now, Luke 15, 14 through 16, we read about the prodigal son. The prodigal son, we often hear all these great stories. I mean, it's great application. I've used one of my best altar calls, okay, of people coming back to the Lord was when I preached about the prodigal son and how the father loved him unconditionally. And even though he practiced his rededication speech and his repentance speech, the Bible says he never even got a chance to even give it. Because all his father did was threw his arms around him and loved on him. Because once he saw he was coming, he like, I don't even care why you're coming. I don't even care why you're gone. The fact is, I'm glad you're here. Now, it's all great, a lot of great spiritual truth and spiritual application to the story of the prodigal son. But I want you to also see the story of the prodigal son from his financial implications and the financial principles that we need to learn from it. So the Bible says that in Luke 15 and 14, this prodigal son, because he got an inheritance, he had a great harvest, and he went, and when he went away, the Bible says he, when he spent all, he did what? Now, who spends all? A fool. So the problem with the prodigal son is that he was a fool. He gave, his father gave him this great inheritance, and he went and he spent all. Don't lose that, because everything else is a result of that. Then arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Now, can I tell you, it wasn't a famine that caused him to be in want. It's because he was a fool and had spent all. If he had spent, if he didn't spend all and was like Joseph and put something on the side, like the wise who hide that money, okay, and keep that false up money, then the famine would not have affected him. Now, I want you to see that. So he spent all. There arose a famine. Circumstances changed. Life is going to have ups and downs. Economy is going to go through cycles. And then next thing I want you to see, and he began to be in want. See the handwriting on the wall. See when something isn't working. Don't wait for crisis to let you see this ain't working. Your car don't just instantly get repossessed. Don't get mad at me. You don't just instantly get put out the house. You begin to be in want. And a lot of times, by the time we hear about it to help folk, I mean, now you need fees and attorney fees and all, and now this has gone way too far. He began to be in want, but he kept doing the same thing. He didn't do anything different when he began to be in want. Do y'all see this? Go on. Then he joins himself to a citizen of that country. So now, because of crisis, he get connected with somebody he would never have gotten connected with. I have seen so many young ladies from the church backslide. You know, they leave the church, go out in the world or whatever. Or you know, I ain't in the church right now. And then they go pick somebody because they was at the club. And they get somebody from the club. It can happen with a man, too. Okay. And my son told me, I was talking to Daniel. He said, Dad, you know, you used to be real hard on the brothers. Okay. And I was. But I realize now, I used to think it was brother's fault all the time. But brother, I now know. I know it ain't just y'all, because these girls ain't loyal. Okay, I should think everything. No, because if some of this ain't the brothers, you got women out here. Some of y'all chasing men. Some of y'all out here telling men you don't have to have anything. I just want you for what I want you for. Mm-hmm. Until you get tired of it. Amen. And so it's not just a brother. He began, and he connected himself with this man who, if he wasn't in that situation, he never would have gotten connected with. Now you got want and crisis causing him to make bad decisions. Decisions go from bad to worse. Okay? So now watch it. So now he connected himself with somebody, joined himself. He enters a covenant. So, okay, let me explain. So now because he's in want and things are such in a crisis mode, now he goes down to the payday loan place. Don't y'all get mad at me. I'm trying to help you. But all this series of unfortunate events happened because he spent all. If he had never spent all, he never would have been in this situation. Say this, I will not spend all. I will not spend all. Now, watch this. I've never been broke since I made that decision. I made my mind, I will not spend all. And know what it started with? It started with me every day coming home, okay, and having a bucket and just taking all my change and throwing it in the bucket. And throw that in the bucket. Every time I'm throwing that change in the bucket, man, stuff adding up. And no help me with that. Oh, my son Daniel. My Daniel was like 10, 11, 12. And Daniel come in and said, "Dad, you got some money for this?" And he come in here. He done rolled up $25 and $50 worth of quarters. I'm like, "Well, yeah, I was keeping this up in my room. Now he want the cash. I'm the bank." Okay? And I start seeing, I mean, that stuff will add up. Now, just tell you, this, y'all need to understand. If y'all ever hear Pastor Home rolling coins, y'all know it's tough. Okay, it got bad. Y'all need to go roll some too. Okay? But I made a mind. I'm not going to. Now, watch it. I made a mind. I will sow all if God tells me to. Because if God tells me to sow all, it's just a challenge of my faith, and there's going to be a great harvest. And I did it. We did it several times. I did it with the ministry, and I did it with the ministry funds when we were building. Cleared everything out. And I did it with our personal funds when we needed a house to get this ministry started. God told me to sow all. I will sow all. I will not spend all. I don't care what kind of sale they got. Amen. I don't care if they say this is the last day and after this, you'll never, ever, as long as the earth exists, be able to buy this item. I am not spending my all. Come on, look at somebody and say, "I'm not spending my all." So he began to be want, spent all, and joined himself to sin of that country. Keep going. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Now he's doing stuff he never thought he would do. All because this is a Jewish boy. Had no business being around pigs. Now he's working with the pigs, and now he get ready to eat what they eat. Until he, watch it. Okay, I want you to see. No, back up. There's another verse. Because he spent all, and no man gave unto him. Y'all see that? Oh, look at all these bad people. Nobody helped him out. And no man gave unto him. But it goes on to say, and after now, because no man gave to him, stuff went from bad to worse. And then it said, and he came to himself. Can I tell you, if somebody gave to him, he never would have come to himself. There are times where the worst thing that can happen is for somebody to give to you in that situation. Because there's some situation, when you hit rock bottom and the bottom of that rock, you make up your mind, "Oh, I ain't going to ever, ever be in this situation again." My whole adult life, I never asked anybody for anything. I was working for Cigna back in Oklahoma, and they would let us use the company credit card. We had to do expense account, and they wasn't sticklers. They said we couldn't do it. They didn't say we couldn't do it. We could use our personal, and they would reimburse us for business expenses, and you just still had to pay your card anymore. Well, I had used the card for some stuff I shouldn't use it for. I mean, my own stuff, and then I couldn't pay it. So I called up my uncle, the one who lives here in South Carolina now, he's the one who got money. What did he tell us? He said something to me one time. Now, you're talking about somebody who's saved. He said, "Everybody know when you get a penny, you save half a cent." I said, was I supposed to know that? Man, you better get that hatchet out and cut that penny. He said, "Everybody know when you get a penny, you cut." And so I called him. I asked him to help me. I said, "Listen, you know, Uncle Robert," he said, "you know, I'm in this situation. You know, I used my company credit card, and I'm afraid, you know, I may not be paying, and I'll lose my job." And I explained the situation. And he said to me, I told you about him, right? He just has a straight, unemotional attitude. He said, "No, I don't think I'm going to do that." Just as simple. No, wasn't mean. He just said, "Nah, I don't think I'm going to do that." I tell him about that now. He don't even remember. But I remember. Okay. But from that situation, now, some kind of way I got out of that. Didn't lose my job. But I made up my mind, "Oh, I ain't going to ever do that again." And know what he was really saying? He said, "No, you did something that you really need to learn from. And the last worst thing I need to do is because you need to learn from this situation." God got me out of it. I got out of it. I didn't lose my job. Transferred here to South Carolina. But there are times when you need, the worst thing to do is to help somebody in that situation. No man gave unto him. And then, you know, somebody recently reached out to me. Somebody that they really wanted to ask me. They wanted me to know about their situation. And it's a housing situation where they might end up being evicted. They wanted me to know the status of this. And so, and you know, and this is a good person, serves the Lord and all that. And I said, okay, so if you get this month, I said, are you going to be handled next month? He said, no. He said, Pastor, it's probably best that I move out. I said, it is. No. See, because if I help you this month, what you going to do next month? See, at some point, you got to come and plan and say, no, I got to get myself out of this whole situation. Now, so the prodigal son, the Bible said, then he came to himself and said, I can't keep living like this. I got to get out of this situation. Wisdom says, I can't keep doing the same thing, expecting different results. I got to make better decisions. So he said, I'm going to rise and go back to my father. Y'all with me here. I want you to see here that this was a situation. If he had a storehouse, all those events wouldn't have happened. So the more you demonstrate, and I'm about to end this here and give you some real practical stuff before we leave tonight. The more you demonstrate that you have the ability to manage and save, the more God will increase you. A lot of people, they really don't get this. God, I need more. I need money. I need more money. God said, okay, now explain what you have. I think it's in Luke 4. Pastor Marsh can tell you, years ago, I used to give her $50 a week and tell her to go shopping. And the next week, she asked me for another $50. And I would say, the Bible says, give an account of thy stewardship. He said, we got 4 kids. I don't need to give no account. You didn't account enough. Give an account of thy stewardship. Okay? And so, when you demonstrate that you have the ability to manage and save, God will give you more. Look at this principle, Matthew 13:12. Now, y'all ever hear people say, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer? Can I tell you, that's a biblical principle. For whoever has, to him will be, to him more will be given. Well, that don't seem right. That's how God works this thing. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And he will have what? Abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Do y'all see that? Can you put that scripture up for me in the New Living Translation? Or maybe it's a traditional King James, because it says more abundance. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have what? More abundance. So that sounds like you already had abundance. Now, by demonstrating that you can handle the abundance, God said, I'll give you more abundance. Now, you have to understand. So don't go around getting mad at rich people. Because if you hate on the rich, you'll never be one of us. Okay, those rich people. And see, every time you talk like that, you're cursing your future. Because I don't believe anybody in this church plan on staying poor. Amen. And so as you manage and demonstrate fit, God said, you'll have more abundance. So how to save? Real practical. Let me give you these things as we end this. To save, you got to ask 3 questions. Number one, what do I need to have money for? What do I need it for? Secondly, you need to ask, how much will I need? And thirdly, you need to ask, when will I need it? What do I need? Or rather, what do I need it for? How much will I need? And thirdly, when will I need it? That determines how you save. So there are 3 time elements or 3 time frames for money. Some of us are old enough to remember or heard about it, at least. George Wallace, who was the governor of Alabama, and he was trying to keep University of Alabama segregated. And he stood on the steps of the University of Alabama and trying to hold out the African-American student come. And he said, segregation today, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever. Okay? Say this with me. Say, money today, money tomorrow, and money forever. That's what you need. You need today money, you need tomorrow money, and you need forever money. When I say forever, I'm talking for the rest of your life and ideally leaving the inheritance to the next generation. So three time frames of money. The first is immediate. Immediate, that's day-to-day needs. That's your basket. That's your store. That's what you're using that debit card for if you can't manage a debit card. And really, and can I encourage you all of this? If you really can't manage a debit card and you never know how much money you have, allocate cash to yourself, because that's what I had to start doing back in the day. I had to allocate cash to myself, and I had to allocate cash to myself on a daily basis. If I had it, it would be spun.
Do you always spend your money before you get it without a clear plan? Saving has to be a priority if you're going to be financially free. Dr. Herbert Billy gives practical steps on how to stack your paper in this timely series. Order this message today. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Stacking Paper.
Area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.